Just so everyone knows, my computer died while Elon and I were in the middle of writing this out. So this last part, I definitely did not check. And we all just
want to feel, want to be real. Yeah, we all just want to feel. Hey, Lulu Crew.
Hi,
I'm Ilana.
And it's Jack.
Welcome back to another episode of The Vicious Virgos. Today we're going to be talking about lunar phases, the new moon, the full moon, and eclipses. We get asked a lot about the moon, and we wanted to learn more about it beyond the moon sign. So we thought this episode would be a good way to answer all your questions, and we'll do other episodes about the moon. But, you know, this
was all encompassing. I mean, think about it. We've done like the Enneagrams. We've done Myers-Briggs. You're like super into human design right now. Like,
gotta do that.
So like, obviously, like, it's woo-woo shit. It's not just astrology. If you're into astrology, you're into other shit. Like, yeah. That's just, they go hand in hand. We're like BFFs. And not only that, but it's like, we've been talking about doing something with like eclipses or like those seasons for the last year.
Yeah.
And we just have been delaying and delaying and delaying.
It's also all about astrology. So I would say that it is. I mean, everything I talk about is about astrology here. So yeah.
Well, I mean, astrology is pretty much anything to do with the you know, the rocks in space.
Anything that we...
I mean, you know,
astronomy, astrology.
Yeah. I mean, we quote NASA in this episode. Yeah. So, like,
so it's real.
Yeah.
So before we get started, I want to remind you all that the Just Girl Project book. Oh, God. See, I don't even know.
See, you can't even say
the Just Girl Project guide, the astrology guide, whatever, guide to every situationship, relationship, everything is out right now. Sorry. I know what it's called. It's just a long title.
Why don't you just say Just Girls Guide to Astrology?
Whatever. This is a book that I put a lot into. I really wanted to do an astrology book when I first got signed by my publisher, and like finally they asked me to do it, and I co-wrote it with someone, and it was a really fun experience. It touches on all different types of relationships, not just romantic, and we had so much fun with it. Like, we talk about everything from, you know, sex to fighting, and there's a lot of cute little text conversations and interactions and memes, and it's just really fun to read because not only is there words and things you can read, but there's also imagery that has like really cute little fun conversations, stuff like that. So this is a unique book. I've never seen anything like it on the market, so I was really excited to do it, and I have these wonderful illustrations from my illustrator Erica that everyone loves at Just Girl. Please buy our book. It's like $16 and it's probably going to be less at some point. You can buy it everywhere.
It's
$16.95. Oh, okay. Yeah. But you can buy it everywhere. And it's just very important to me. And it just came out and we would love your support.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's super important to me too, because I think I got to help with like one illustration. So
yes, you gave me some ideas. Yeah. Yeah.
So I am also taking credit, just so everyone's aware, because my, you know, my rising Leo says take credit.
Yes.
So, you know, but honestly, I didn't have anything to do with it. So,
but I mean, the cool thing is that each sign is a character in the book and they have like a persona and a look. And I think that's what makes it kind of interesting and different. It's almost like a journey. It's cute. So go buy it. You can buy it anywhere. If you want the link, it's going to be in our description. It's also going to be, it's on our, you know, it's going to be our website. It's going to be on,
it's Just Girl link in bio.
We'll put it on our stories for Vicious Virgos. You can get it. Let me know. And with that, support us. So,
or die.
Yeah.
Support or die.
Yes, absolutely.
God, that was a little violent. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
I know, the true crime episode.
Support
really
or just
you.
Leave. Yeah. Just go away. That we are a girl power brand. And if you are not supporting your fellow girls, bye.
And guilt tripping them. So eclipse season kicked off a few weeks ago. We had Taurus on November 8th. So we thought this episode was really perfectly timed. Who follows the lunar calendar, you ask? Well, Buddhists, Burmese, Assyrians, Hebrew, I love that. Jewish people. I can say that because I'm Jewish. I feel like I need to
I can say that too. Just kidding. Although I wouldn't say the Jewish people.
We do have a lunar calendar. That's how we follow things.
That's why holidays.
That's why every year the holidays are different times. People are so confused. Like, why is Hanukkah in November? Now it's in December. Hindu, Jain, and Kurdish, as well as traditional Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Tibetan, and Vietnamese. Plus the ancient Hellenic, how do you say that? Colony?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, and Babylonian calendars are all lunisolar.
Yes.
So it's a lot of people.
I don't understand why we don't follow one.
I don't know. I mean, it's the foundation of my religion, but I never really.
But it's fascinating because I was doing a little bit of research on this. I mean, I don't really talk about it much, but you know me. I'm like, oh, why are we different? And a lot of it has to do with like Germanic Christianity changing the dates and how. You know, a lot of these calendars are only on because it's lunar. It's like short of the standard 12-month period, and that's why everything changes. So I don't know. If anyone wants to study it with me, like, let's do it.
It'd be pretty cool because your birthday would be, like, always different, right? Mm-hmm. That's so neat.
Maybe is that why we're turning into Libras?
I don't know. I think we're moving past that. I think we're turning to Scorpio pretty soon. Yeah, I know. So.
I don't know if, I mean, okay.
So because we're talking moons, we just have to tap into our Virgo brains and give you some astronomy. Brought to you by the National...
Are you kidding me? You wrote out NASA? You wrote out NASA. Yeah.
So according to NASA, and I quote, the moonlight we see on Earth is sunlight reflected off the moon's grayish white surface. The amount of moon we see changes over the month. That's lunar phases. Because the moon orbits Earth and Earth orbits the sun, everything is moving. During a lunar eclipse, Earth comes between the sun and the moon, blocking the sunlight falling on the moon. Earth's shadow covers all or part of the lunar surface.
You know what I just realized? You know what I would also love to study at some point? Solar eclipses.
We are going to be talking about that.
No, we're talking about lunar eclipses.
We're talking about solar eclipses too.
You're talking about solar eclipses?
Yeah.
Do you remember the solar eclipse back in like 2017? Yeah. That was my first day working at Swedish. That was dope.
We're doing that too. We're doing both.
Well, I don't know. I didn't learn about that part. So you have to teach me.
So what are lunar phases? Yes, Dean Martin, the moon hits your eyes like a bright pizza pie, but it doesn't shine. It actually reflects.
Stop. Sing that instead.
Oh, I don't. I know. I really should. I used to be a jazz singer, guys, like back in the day. Just like daytime here on Earth, sunlight illuminates our moody little moon. We just can't always see it. When sunlight reflects off the moon's far side, the dark side. Thank you.
I feel like we should like introduce
the moon. It's Mulan.
Okay. I was thinking Pink Floyd, but totally different.
I do.
Totally different. I was thinking we need to interject some like, hello, hello, hello.
Oh my God. So this is a sign we can't see from Earth without Aqua's spacecraft. It's called the new moon. When sunlight reflects off the near side, aka Mr. Brightside, if you know, you know, it's a millennial reference. We call it a full moon. Mr. Brightside. Thank you. Yeah. The rest of the month, we see parts of the daytime side of the moon in phases. There are 8 phases. We're not going to be talking about all of them necessarily in the forefront of this episode. We'll be talking about them later. So there's the new, the waxing crescent, the first quarter, the waxing gibbous, full waning gibbous, third quarter, and waning crescent. And just like your cycle, ladies, this lunar release happens every 29.5 days. Or if you're like me, 32. Thanks, fertility tracker. Shout out to Free Mom and Flo. Yeah. Well, it was a piece
your
of shit.
Your boobs are sensitive right
no,
now.
Kidding. No, no. Oh my God. I love it. My husband and I are on the same fertility tracker because, you know, and it'll be like, your boobs are showing. Colin's like, I think that they are. And I'm like,
yeah. Or it's like, are you craving this right now? And you're like, oh my God, what is wrong?
Like, shut up and leave me alone. Or it'll tell me my period's happening and it's not. And it confuses me. So, anyway.
But that's why we have more than one tracker, right?
Yes, exactly. Multiple.
Okay, so, keeping up with fertility. All right. So, the moon represents your inner world, your emotions, and what you need to feel safe, our deepest personal needs, our basic habits, and our reactions, and our unconscious. So when you know what you mean, but you can't say it, that's your moon, right? And then your sun is the one that like you can't say because it's, you know, emotions, ego. Thoughts that do often lie too deep for tears. Those are the thoughts of your moon's nature. I know. It like makes me sad. It hurts my spirit.
It's so Cancer.
It's so Cancer. And in astrology, the sun represents male energy while the moon is associated with feminine energy. So think of the sun and the moon as yin and yang of the heavens. The moon also symbolizes motherhood and governs realms of fertility, pregnancy, childbirth. Women's menstrual cycles are thought to be tied to the moon phases. We literally just talked about this. When we work with the energy of the moon, we're able to tap into our own inner powers and strength and use it to create positive change in our lives. Typically, new moons and full moons have the most poignant energy, and moon energy can be harnessed 3 days before or after it passes through the full or new phase.
It's really interesting because, yeah, it's just interesting because like with ovulation, it's similar where it's like 3 days. I don't know. It's just so fertility. Everything I read, it's interesting. Yes. They used to use it to track fertility back in ancient times when they didn't have ovulation trackers.
When they had a lunar calendar.
Yeah. It was very interesting.
Mm.
So what do new moons mean in astrology? A new moon resets the monthly lunar cycle like your period. Let's keep with that analogy. Astrologers see these powerful moments as a time to set intentions and start anew. What astro twins deem a lunar lift because the sky is dark, offering a blank canvas for creation.
It's so poetic.
It's beautiful. That's why I had to quote them, because I couldn't there's no way I was going to be able to re-say that in any sort of way. It wasn't going to be pretty.
No.
It was going to be like the black can't. No, it doesn't make sense. During a new moon, the sun and moon are aligned in the sky from our view down here on Earth. That means these two will also be in the same zodiac sign and degree in the sky. So an example, it's Scorpio season and the new moon was in Scorpio. During this time, this dynamic and powerful duo combine their powers to create an alliance, merger, or coupling between our external passions and our innermost desires.
Sexy.
Mm-hmm, it is. New moons are the time to rejuvenate and manifest, to fill our lives with new experiences, people, or things. A time to make space for new beginnings and a little fun, because, you know, new moons can be feisty, just like full moons. How often does a new moon happen? So new moons happen once a month when the sun and the moon align in our sky. Because the sun illuminates the dark, or the backside of the moon, or the dark side, whatever you want to call it, it's basically invisible to us here on Earth. Unless
the backside.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you have a telescope or if you squint, but we really don't recommend that. I was just the eye doctor.
Wrinkles.
Don't squint.
Don't
it's
squint.
Also just bad for your eyes.
But wrinkles.
Yeah, that's you. But even though it's dark, the new moon is different from the black moon, which is the term describing rare months where there are two new moons on the calendar. I just think of twins, but whatever. So AstroStyle has an annual schedule of new moons on their site under their new moon section. I highly recommend it if you want to see when the moon is in your sign. We'll link that in the episode description if you want to check it out. We have to link a lot of stuff in this episode description, by the way.
It's like two things.
It's a lot.
It's more than normal.
So how does this new moon energy affect you? Well, you can enjoy the benefits of a new moon in many aspects of your life. Here are some we found that are really interesting from Astro Fame. So accelerates hair regrowth. If you want your hair to grow back faster, cut your hair when the moon is in its rising phase, meaning between the new and the full moon. The same rule can be applied to hair removal, so like waxing and shaving. It can make weight loss easier. Our bodies deep clean during new moon, so weight loss can be obtained without too much effort. Apparently, I'm pretty skeptical about this, but whatever. They say do a cleanse during this period, but if you're like me and need support, please do it under a practitioner. Be responsible. I'm not advocating like to, you know, not eat for 3 days. If you're going to lose weight, do it responsibly.
We are not Gwyneth Paltrow. We are not saying you need to go on a cleanse.
No, I'm not a big cleanse person. Anyway, so.
Messes up your gut.
Sometimes, yeah.
We can talk about that when we talk about food.
Sure, yeah. That's a great episode for that.
Gut
yeah.
health.
Make people have a weird relationship with food.
Food astrology yeah. and yeah. gut health yeah. with the Vicious Virgos. Yeah.
So it also makes plants more resistant. Herbs and veggies are the most resistant when the moon is in an ascending phase. This is the time to sow any seeds, plant, harvest, or graft. Shout out to Love Island. If you know, you know.
I don't.
Okay, well, they say grafting. That's like to, you know, you have to go like get people, like flirt with people. It's graft.
What the heck?
Yeah. Increase sex drive. This is a great time to get it on or work to create new life. Experts say that new moons have a strong gravitational pull on the elements, including the human body. So when it comes to sleep, the new moon can intensify insomnia or any sort of interrupted sleep, like if you're getting up in the middle of the night. The most sensitive zodiac signs are the most impacted by this because they're more lunar sensitive, which is like Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. Actually, Leo was up there too, which I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
So how do you harness the power of the new moon? To truly harness your power during this time, direct your focus towards the energy of the zodiac sign the moon is in. So for example, this upcoming new moon is in Sag, a time to gaze into a flame to purify your thoughts, immerse yourself in philosophy, use exotic products, cultivate new plans, habits, and seed ideas, dream big basically, or, you know, plan a trip because it's Sagittarius and we have to be stereotypes. Writing our wishes down has a lot of power during this time. It keeps us focused and it's just a good practice in general, Pisces, because when you write things down, our brains just absorb it better and we tend to follow through more than when we don't. Because you know,
it's why I write down everything. I don't yeah. type it out. I write it down.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a term by Japanese astrologer Keiko called the power wish method that speaks of creating an attention grabbing resume for the universe. So pretend that it's like they said, talked about LinkedIn.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I'm all about that LinkedIn yeah. shit.
Using what she calls anchoring statements and anchorings, Keiko just demonstrates how to make a power wish that will make you the teacher's pet of the universe. It's in her book, so check it out. I think it's called The Power Wish. Since new and full moons happen 2 weeks apart, she advises setting intentions for what you want to happen during the new moon. With the power wish method, you must also write a corresponding full moon power wish for the lunar cycle's peak that happens 2 weeks following each new moon. So definitely get the book because I don't know how to describe that. And then there is our favorite ritual, having a new moon party called a moon circle. Grab your woo-woo crew, have some fun, set your intentions together, and practice grounding rituals. Like think like meditation, sound baths, yoga, sage. People come to moon cycles to set intentions. They want to clear the energy. They want to work through something, gain clarity. They want to connect to people.
Do you want to have a moon circle?
I do.
Or is ours like a moon line?
Well, something I think is interesting, and I was told by my acupuncturist, is when you're surrounded by someone, if you're with someone around someone that has their period, right, or they're pregnant, it often can affect you. So they used to put women that wanted to be pregnant in rooms with a bunch of pregnant women because that would influence them. And I think it's similar with getting your period because of the cycles. Because
you sync up.
Yeah, I kind of think of it like that. It's like it makes things more powerful, very feminine. So fun note to make here is that according to legend, it's highly favorable to move into a new home, start a new relationship, job, workout, or some habitual routine during a new moon. This is a time to plant some seeds of intention that you can watch grow over time.
So I thought learning about the full moon was going to be like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Like, like blah, werewolf. Blah. But guess what? It's actually not as crazy as I thought it was. And I realized I've been doing my manifestations all wrong. Like all wrong. Like I'm talking all wrong. Like I left my freaking dish of crystals and shit out during the eclipse and really fucked up. So, but you know, that's just me thinking I knew what I was doing, but obviously I didn't. So what are full moons, right? Like what do they mean in astrology? How often do they happen? What's the story here? So a full moon only comes around once a month, and it's when the sun and the moon are in perfect opposition to one another. So we're talking about the exact opposite zodiac sign and degree in the sky. The way that I would say this is think about your ascending and descending. Okay. So the sun is illuminating the front side of the moon. So we get to see that beautiful glowing silver ball in the sky.
The pizza pie.
The full moon marks our halfway point of our 29.5 day lunar cycle. And it's the time to harvest. This is reap the results of those seeds that you planted. Here's the fun part. 6 months ago. Under the corresponding new moon. So whatever you manifested during the new moon in Sagittarius, you will reap back during the full moon in Sagittarius during Gemini season.
Okay, so very ascendant, descendant. Yeah.
Yes.
Also north node, south node.
All it's that yes, yeah. Exactly. So full moons are considered extremely lucky, by the way, if they fall on a Monday. Why? Because Mondays are ruled by the moon. Hence, Moon Day.
I had no idea that Monday was ruled by the moon. That's so sad. I do not think of it. I think of it as like the sun.
Why do you think we're so pissed off on Mondays?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, just think about the energy that's around that, right? It's a lot of emotions.
No one likes Mondays. So, cats. Garfield.
How does this energy affect us? Okay, our intuition is heightened and sends some seriously strong signals from our beacon. We're able to see situations clearly and execute effectively. This wicked intuition comes with a fancy set of bold emotions, though, and voila, you have the understanding now of the word lunacy or lunatic.
Love it, lunar.
Not to be mean, but basically it's just a really emotional time for everyone. Things feel super intense because we're literally being pulled in opposite directions.
Wow.
We are the human rope in a tug-of-war battle between the sun, ego, and the moon, our emotions.
That's really cool.
Isn't that? Yeah. I know. When you think about that, you're like, oh, like.
I mean, there's actually science to back this up. It's neat.
Yeah, because, you know, astrology is real.
It is.
Full moons expedite closure, by the way. Whatever zodiac sign the full moon is in, this will help provide you with clues about what you should be harvesting and wrapping up for good. So how can you harness this? We talked about moon circles, all that shit, right? Today is actually the day for your haircut. A haircut on a full moon grows your hair the fastest, strongest, and thickest.
I'll have to make sure I know that. I definitely need to, because
all my hair is falling out.
Yeah.
So I am just in a perpetual like loop of just my hair falling. I'm going to be bald. Call me Bosley. So to all of our gardeners out there, plant rooted and fruit plants. When the energy is retreating itself and slowly decreasing, it is energetically retreating itself into the earth and therefore enhances the growth and vitality of roots, like root vegetables, as well as fruit trees and plants. Cleanse the energy of your home.
Sage.
These energies are ready to let go and move on, and you need to give them some permission.
You also can put pans together like my old roommate used to.
Oh my God. Bang, 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 bang,
big
bang.
Pans, yeah.
So air out the house. Use sage. It's not Palo Alto. It's called something else. I can't remember the exact name of it. It's another type of herb. And you'll just smudge each room. Make sure to include the corners. Take out your garbage any unused items, go drop them off at a thrift store, Goodwill, whatever. Rearrange your space, clean your windows, make space for new energy to come in. Full moons are not the time for you to be setting intentions. Okay, we spoke about that earlier. You should be doing that during the new moon. The full moon is more or less about, it's like a checkpoint for you to assess your progress. Think about where you were at 6 months ago and then focus back on, okay, what was happening back then? What was I, you know, what was I trying to set into motion? Are you still on track? Or did you like completely like take a different exit and you're on a completely different course now? Were those goals still relevant to your life now? Because if they are, you can pick them back up again, review, revise, figure out what derailed your progress. Now is also a great time to say thank you to the universe. Think of it like pouring fuel on the fire, which I usually don't recommend, but in this case, go for it.
Pyros come out.
I'm always like, I don't think we should do that. That's pouring fuel on the fire. Maybe no, but in this case, it's okay. Do you want to harness or create some new rituals?
Yes, I do. Let's talk about it.
All right. So you're going to find your woo-woo crew.
Bring them back.
You're going to do activities that help embrace that energy, but there's nothing fucking special you should be doing. So
draw pictures, watch TV.
Like literally, like don't worry about trying to manifest a long-term project and set it into motion. Find an activity that aligns with the energy of the sign the full moon is in. This full moon phase inspires us to allow and release whatever or whoever is holding us back or weighing us down. Maybe a burning ceremony is in order, a moon bath. Share whatever you're ready to leave after a moonrise. Interesting note, full moon rituals are usually performed on the day of the full moon, but you can totally do them leading up to it and continue those activities like literally whenever. As we roll into the next thing, and I think I talked about this earlier, here's a big fat freaking note that you should know. Do not use rituals or leave your crystals out under the night sky on a full moon during eclipse season. Eclipses are chaotic as fuck, super overwhelming, reactionary, and this is energy that you do not want to save for later.
Right. Don't let the crystals absorb it.
I fucked up so big.
Not explained 2019.
I don't even, like, literally, I just brought them in, like, last.
Why do you think 2020 happened? Oh, Jack left her crystals out.
I don't know. How do I get rid of that energy? I got to figure out how to do, like, a crystal cleanse or something. Yeah. I don't know how to do it.
I do an aura cleanse. I was taught by my astrologer, so we can do that.
Can you cleanse the aura of a crystal?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We'll figure it out. Maybe we need Pokemon. Okay.
What? So- Pikachu!
Pikachu!
Charizard! Wow. Okay.
And there's Jigglypuff. You don't
remember. Wait, isn't Jigglypuff from like...
No, it's Pokemon.
Oh, it's Pokemon? Yeah. I thought it was like Kirby.
No. Similar though. Okay, so let's talk about eclipses. That's what you all came here for. So what are eclipses? During a lunar eclipse, the Earth comes between the sun and the moon, blocking the sunlight falling on the moon. Earth's shadow covers all or part of the lunar surface. There are two kinds of lunar eclipses. A total lunar eclipse, I'm thinking of total eclipse of the heart, this whole episode is just songs, occurs when the moon and the sun are on opposite sides of the Earth. A partial lunar eclipse happens when only one part of Earth's shadow covers the moon. During some stages of a lunar eclipse, the moon can appear kind of reddish. This is because the only remaining sunlight reaching the moon at that point is from around the edges of the Earth, as seen from the moon's surface. From there, an observer during an eclipse would see all of Earth's sunrises and sunsets at once, which is like really cool. Eclipses turn things upside down, which can be quite disorienting. So we may go all a bit like we talked about loony, foolish, strange. Nonetheless, eclipses can help us break patterns and shift dynamics. However, most astrologers suggest waiting a week or so before taking drastic action, allowing the eclipse energy to settle first.
Like as we said, it's freaking chaotic.
Yeah, it's basically Aries. So how often do they happen? Eclipses fall about 4 to 6 times a year, activating the unexpected and forcing us to take action, letting us know it's time for a change. So solar eclipses are the first thing we're going to cover. So during a solar eclipse, the moon is directly between the Earth and the sun, the new moon, right? Known as a conjunction or meetup of the sun and the moon. During this brief window, the moon can block out the sun's light, temporarily disconnecting us from our sense of reality. In astrology, a solar eclipse represents bold beginnings, creating new paths for ourselves that we've never really considered before. It can be really uncomfortable, really unexpected, shocking, they said. So solar eclipses signify something big is in store for us. They remind us that we're connected to the universe. Not everything is about us, Leo. It happens to all of us, and it opens our eyes to opportunity. It's very grounding in a weird, it's kind of like Mercury retrograde where you're like, this is awful, but I need it. It's weird. Solar eclipses force us to consider our options and explore. Think like Sagittarius or Aquarius. Eclipses are cruel to be kind. Major growth can happen during what are deemed cosmic power outages. This is when we should leap into new territory, even if we feel a bit forced beyond our control.
Speaking of power outages.
Then you have a lunar eclipse. So a lunar eclipse occurs when the moon is nearing its full state during a full moon and enters the Earth's shadow. During lunar eclipses, the Earth is exactly between the sun and the moon, which we call an opposition. For a brief moment, we can see the Earth's shadow turning the really sparkly, dazzling full moon into intense shades of red, brown, and gray. This is like a really cool one to witness. Depending on where in the world you are, an eclipse may be visible, maybe not. According to astrology, lunar eclipses give us a glimpse into our shadow self.
Shadow work.
Yeah. We all want to believe we're good and kind, but we're human. So, you know, we're flawed. What we are able to discover about ourselves and others during lunar eclipses can be really intense, but this gives us a chance to embrace ourselves and see where we can grow. It's time to own our emotions, basically. So remember, the first step is always admission. Pretending we're perfect, obviously, Virgo, and shutting off our feelings, Capricorn, only leaves us feeling really overwhelmed. Time to accept the good with the bad. Lunar eclipses are powerful moments for self-discovery. So why have eclipses been feared throughout history? This is really interesting. So eclipses throughout history have gotten a pretty bad rap. People were basically obsessed with them, and simultaneously they're terrified of them. Kind of like serial killers. So our ancestors were all like, oh my God, why is the sun disappearing from the sky? So they told stories of the gods being gobbled up by the sun. Yeah, because eclipses have often teamed up with climate catastrophes. Many cultures believe that eclipses angered the gods. Like Zeus is like, oh my God, what's going on? People were known to act kind of loony. And yeah, it is still a thing. But Western science really just says protect your eyes if you watch a solar eclipse. Because, you know, they have to ruin everything.
Everyone has a picture out there somewhere of their friend or someone they're with staring at the freaking solar eclipse with no like
protective. And they go to the eye doctor several weeks later.
And you just feel like you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. So eclipses also have a lot to do with the lunar nodes of astrology. So lunar nodes, which are the destiny points in astrology, are actually connected to eclipses. Lunar nodes, and yes, we have an episode on this. Jack did a lot of research. It's called North and South Nodes. Check it out. They're determined by the points where the moon's orbit crosses the ecliptic path the sun makes around the Earth. Your north and south nodes are determined by where the eclipses were happening when you were born. And these points are tied to our past lives, our karmic patterns, and our soul's purpose. This is a really important thing for you to
study. It's a really big deal. Yeah. They're also called Rahu and Ketu, I believe, in Vedic astrology.
Really love that episode. It's very intense, but it could be something that really inspires you and gives you a lot of answers. So go listen to it. So how do you harness the power of eclipses? Because that's what we all want to know. Duh. So during an eclipse...
Don't leave your crystals out.
Don't do that. A dedicated ritual, though, can help you stay grounded. And I mean dedicated. Like, do it a lot. So solar eclipse rituals, okay? Since these eclipses happen during a new moon, intention setting and rituals should focus on starting fresh. Some themes here could be like looking within yourself to welcome a new start, embracing change, taking risks, and you got to put yourself out there. And then a lunar eclipse ritual would be like, so they say since these eclipses happen during full moons, they mark a time of closure. You got to wrap up the transition, right? So some themes here could be like an epiphany, pushing yourself, letting go of trauma. You have to like look within yourself, break free.
I want to break free of
anything harmful though, right? And don't just like leave your relationship for no reason. And you got to release and also invigoration. I know I love the word release. It's time to heal yourself. You know, you got to.
We're talking about periods and then like
release,
fertility,
guys,
the release.
Consider also taking into account the zodiac sign the eclipse is in and amplify your practice by heading back to that moon circle we talked about. Solar and lunar eclipses are dramatic and they're big turning points for all of us. Remember, it's not just happening to you. The universe is saying, get out of your comfort zone and live in the discomfort because time's a-changing. Remember that if you're waiting for clear sign, eclipses will definitely speed up the process. And that's what makes them equally terrifying as they are inspiring. So I think it varies.
Okay.
Total eclipse of the heart.
All right.
Moving on.
So we covered full moons. We covered eclipses. We covered new moons. Let's talk about natal moons for a hot second.
And what is a natal moon? Can you explain that?
Exactly. So there's 8 different moon phases. And therefore, there are the potential to be 8 moon phases that you were born under.
And you can, if you go to Channing Nichols has a really great calculator that talks about that, but also, what was the other one? Ananda.
Ananda Soul. I think it's Ananda Soul.
You can just Google it. Like, yeah. When was I born? What moon? And that will help you figure out the next part of this episode. So go look that up before you listen.
We're not going to link that. So in astrology, your natal moon phase says a lot about your emotional temperament. This adds a really, I don't know, it's just a fascinating layer of understanding your moon sign, like your emotional blueprint.
It's really cool.
We're all about learning more about ourselves. We're going to cover like some highlights here. We're definitely going to look more into lunar returns and like we're going to get real woo-woo on the moon shit probably here in 2023. Just
and you were born during, what is it, the waning? Was it a waning? No.
I don't remember.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't write it down.
It was something gibbous. It was a gibbous moon. I was born during a crescent moon. I don't remember what yours was, but that's okay.
Yeah. You know, whatever. So I don't remember. That was like before food. So let's talk about what happens during a new moon. Keywords here that you may identify with are initial urge, instinct, projection. People born during this lunar phase are spontaneous. They're impulsive. They follow their own urges rather than a roadmap. They're kind of that like live in the moment type. Planning ahead is definitely not one of their key skills. Life is just an adventure with unlimited possibilities. They are not restricted by ego-based insecurities like Virgo. You can start projects, but you got to work on follow through, or at least find someone who can help you make it across that finish line. Even though you enjoy your freedom, you crave security, guidance, and parenting longer than most. So you might end up seeking friends or partners who are caretakers.
Interesting.
Being born in the darkness, when the moon sheds no light, you have come to learn to act on intuition and to respond instinctively. Therefore, you can actually navigate without a map and still arrive at your destination with time to spare. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You can also be a little naive and innocent, but the fact that you believe anything is possible is honestly one of your greatest gifts. Your lesson is to learn your identity. You are who you are and how to project that into the world. You feel like you have to make your mark somewhere during this lifetime. Self-centeredness is a necessity for your self-development.
It's a cool moon to be born under. I can like
There's
that one.
There's a lot of power to it.
A lot. I mean, the first, right? So if you were born under a crescent moon, your keywords are breakthrough, activation, striving, and future.
And this is you, right?
Yes, yeah. So people born under this natal moon are creative and traditional. You might color outside the lines, but you have a strong sense of loyalty, especially to your family and childhood friends. You're the one who helps roll with the times, basically. So you're not one to dip off and run away to the big city and leave everyone behind in the dust. You know a little about a lot. You're the trivia night warrior, which is so not me, but I like that you wrote that. Anything experimental is for you. You want to taste, touch, and feel just like Taurus. You may find yourself emotionally tied to the past. You're drawn towards habitual behaviors. You like to stay within your comfort zone. You feel the need for security.
This is all you.
I know. You're sensitive and vulnerable to emotional blackmail.
Also you.
Ever heard the phrase, you've changed? Why can't you just go back to the old you? Can't you just stay the way you were? These people do not support your growth. Amen. It's hard for you to leave home. Well into adulthood, you must establish your life force as independent. It's really important for you to understand that the first step is always the hardest. But once you make that, new opportunities are just going to open up. Just make sure you take those opportunities and you actually act on them. You'll need to learn how to assert yourself and accept that your differences will lead to your evolution. Your greatest challenge is to become independent, having your own value and belief system, breaking away from the past, all that wonderful stuff that holds you back.
It's true. And coming from someone who took 33 years to leave home, I say home, the state of Washington, once you do it, it's everything else is easy. But also you could end up like me and not really want to settle down anywhere because you just like being a nomad now. So, you know, there's also that risk that you take too.
I was always a nomad, so I think now I want to settle down. It's like opposite.
If we have definitely switched roles.
Yeah.
Also, I had to look it up. I am because I literally just opened my phone back up and it says I'm a waxing gibbous.
Okay, so
when we get there, we'll talk.
You would be like the weird one.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
So first quarter moon, clearing, action, building. People born under this natal moon are change makers. You have a solid grip on the old way of doing things and you're looking to improve the formula or maybe just create something new altogether. You know, it's funny when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about that fucking skincare company that I was on YouTube the other day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, improve the formula. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So You value intellect and intuition. You're all about thinking before action. You never rush into anything. It is noted that while you're not super spontaneous, you do appreciate that spirit in others. You plan for the near future, not the long term. Someone should probably help you plan for retirement. If you want someone, let me know. My brother does that. You handle pressure and stress extremely well and can come up with really quick creative solutions during a crisis. Partnerships are everything to you. Romantic and platonic, literally your BFFs are your sounding board. People born during this lunar phase are able to rise to the occasion of any emergency. You can make a split second decision and act on it. You're the pioneer, the trailblazer, the hero, the heroine. You can always be expected to do the unexpected. You might feel like you've built a life characterized by crisis and that you've either found yourself in or that became a crisis because of how you handled it. Oops. Because you push so hard in order to keep things moving and progressing, you likely invite a crisis. You can handle it. Survival is something that you learned early on, and managerial skills come naturally to you. But your lesson here is to learn which energy has been released by these crises and then restructure it into a new form and then move the hell on.
Wow, that's interesting. All right, the gibbous moon, if perfecting, analyzing, interpreting, all that stuff. So people born under this natal moon phase are driven by passion and purpose. They want to create something meaningful with their lives, something that helps other humans see the light or understand a universal truth. Think Aquarius. If they believe in the essence of a project, they're going to devote their lives to developing it. Gibbous are quick learners, but because of their different methods, think like DIY, Pinterest, all that stuff, they run the risk of being left behind when their projects make it big. They need to work on patience and learn how to be more structured, sophisticated, and self-protective. This can help ensure they actually profit from their hard work and it doesn't get taken away. These people have a deep desire for perfection. They're very analytical and they want to understand everything, like Gemini. They look at all angles, but they revel in diving deep, searching for truth, basically. Gibbous types live their life anxiously. As children, they most likely wanted to know why and how things happened. These people make great students because their goal is to learn all they can and become as good as they can. Since the gibbous phase is a transitional phase, with the first three phases before it operating at a more instinctual, projective, and experimental approach, during this one is growing from instinctual rapid movement to conscious and deliberate action. These people want to make their life valuable, analyze their growth, focus on what they are going and creating and meaning, a life of purpose, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a perfect blend between my anxious Virgo and my learned Aqua.
And it's why I think we work together, because I need to start it and you're going to, it's not even finish it, but see it through. Like, that's really powerful because you have a hard time initiating and I have a hard time finishing. So it checks out.
It checks out.
Yeah.
All right. If you were born during a full moon, perfection, complete conscious, illumination. People born under this natal moon are natural providers and know how to live life to the fullest. You're confident in your ability to manifest and succeed.
Good for you.
You have some kind of parental vibe about you and you love sharing. You remain calm and cool under pressure, which makes you an excellent leader. When it comes to emotional situations, though, watch out. You are known for causing, starting, or seeking out drama just for the thrill of it. Libra. You can also be so caught up chasing your ambitions that you forget to actually take care of yourself and your spirit. Remember, the moon is what governs your emotions and the sun rules your ego. Letting go of the need to succeed can be a really tough challenge for you. You may become spiritual as a result of crisis or failure, some kind of situation that forces you to look beyond the material world. This is, of course, accompanied by super intense anxiety, a possible nervous breakdown. We recommend cultivating emotional intelligence. Now is a time when all that was instinctual becomes deliberate action, as Ilana mentioned earlier. So everything you felt before is now visible. Ideals are realized and brought forth to share. You're an idealist. You're likely spending your time searching for a belief system that you can relate to. Maybe you made your own. Relationships are super important to you, and you must learn to be fully conscious of the effects that your words have on others. It's like a message for Sag and Libra.
Yeah. I thought of Sag for sure. Yeah. So disseminating moon, imparting, convey, awareness. Interesting. So people that are born during this phase have kind of an old soul quality to them. You got to think like Taurus here. They kind of march to the beat of their own drums. They're unaffected by anything that's kind of stupid going on around them or insignificant, they're tastemakers, they're thought leaders, they think and dress outside the box. That's how they express themselves. They do like attention. They like to be around people, but they also can be loners. They'd rather connect to ideas or, you know, the universe than people that aren't worth their time. People often follow their lead, especially when it comes to anything spiritual or off the beaten path. So they have to be careful not to be a cult leader, basically. This is kind of what I'm trying to say. But they might can invent something in their lifetime that's like groundbreaking. So this phase is the second phase of conscious operation. So it's when it's completion of the full moon is ready to be distributed now. People are born in this phase are going to be natural communicators. They're what they believe, and their purpose is to kind of spread that to the world. They share, communicate information that they get from experiences. This really is sad. They're also philosophers or teachers. If they have no purpose or message that they want to share with people, then they get really disappointed and sad. So it's their lesson to realize that they are not responsible to teach people. They can just live their life. It's not the role of everyone else to be, you know, a slave to their ideas either, but it is the role of them to express it. They would make a good publicist or reporter as long as they believe what they're actually saying. They can't just, they're not going to report news that isn't real. So that's something they have to
do. I love
this.
It's like literally just because you know something doesn't mean everyone else.
It's Sagittarius. It is Sagittarius. Like that's the one.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So if you were born during the last quarter moon, some keywords you might connect with are readjustment, correcting, disillusionment, elimination. Ooh. When I think of elimination, I think of like...
I think we're in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have eliminated.
Yeah.
People born under this lunar phase are renegades at heart who need to express their individuality no matter what. They're clever, always stirring the pot. They've seen it all. So shock value is their secret weapon and they love to keep you guessing. This feels like baby Jackie. They enjoy being in relationships but are super independent and don't mind being alone. It empowers them. It's not that they don't love people. They just prefer freedom. They want to go on adventure and not feel like someone is dependent on them 24/7. Like Sagittarius.
They're what really is all like, the moons.
Right? They're on a mission of self-discovery. When they do commit to a partnership, they make a great team player. And since they have a really unique point of view, they often create beautiful and brilliant works of art, music, literature, and science. Plus, they're usually ahead of the time, so that's pretty cool too. Patience is a virtue for those born under this moon phase. You'd be wise to remember that. Mm-hmm. As the first quarter experiences their crisis in action, the third quarter experiences crisis in consciousness. That sucks for you. Old times and values are becoming less useless.
Yeah, the systems are not useful anymore.
I added in an extra lesson there. Old systems and values are becoming useless. We can leave all of that in there. I don't care. It's hard for these people to relate to life in the here and now. They often appear to be living in a world of their own when in actuality, they're going through an internal process of reorientation. This sounds like Pisces. These people need time and space to find themselves. If pressured to conform, they may rebel. Duh, they're rebellious. When their own internal self has been completed, a brand new fully developed person emerges like a butterfly. It is so freaking funny. Just so everyone knows, my computer died while Elon and I were in the middle of writing this out. So this last part, I definitely did not check.
So the balsamic moon, which is the coolest.
The salad moon.
Yeah. The salad dressing moon. Incubation, preparation, closure, and surrender. People born under this final lunar phase are otherworldly. These esoteric souls act as if they've been through this all before, so they can be quite hesitant, perhaps uncomfortable in their own skin. This is Pisces to me. They may be even karmic, reveling in their fair share of lifetimes before. Nonetheless, they may be reluctant to change, but drifting too far off of the ethereal plane is a mistake for them. They have to enjoy sensual pleasures. That's what they love. Food, fashion, art, that's the key to happiness for them. They may be introverted, so they'll need to push themselves to go out and play once in a while. Once they're out having fun, their spirits are going to lift up and they're going to feel better. It's kind of like what I would describe as a introverted extrovert, extrovert introvert, whatever it is. Another big lesson, work on not making every stressful situation into an epic ordeal. Cancer, Pisces, Scorpio, all of you. So a passion for balsamics, love that, is their collection of fascinating people. They love sharing deep, meaningful conversations with those they're closest with. They may find fulfilling work as therapists or healers, maybe as shaman, roles where they can guide people through some sort of transformation. Fun fact, these people often have pronounced psychic abilities. They are visionaries. Maybe they were loners as kids. Balsamics, it's really interesting. Sounds like a movie. Balsamics are able to, I love balsamics, are able to take the true meaning of a situation, distill it into its wisdom essence, and plant it into the awareness of others, their gurus.
What basically. If it's not balsamic like you think it is and it's balsamic?
It could be. I just like
balsamics better. Or balsamic.
It could be, yeah. Their job is a transmission of essential knowledge, which will germinate at the next level during the next lunar cycle.
I like the lunation word germinate. Cycle. Yeah. I like the word germinate for some reason. So dumb.
To understand a balsamic, one needs to look at what is happening through them. Their purpose is a transmission of essential knowledge. This is the coolest one. And also, who the hell is born under this? I need to know them because I don't think they're real. Like, it's just, this is
that
like, this is a shaman.
Does not exist.
This is a shaman. Definitely a shaman. So this episode, what did you think of it? Did you like this episode?
I mean, I'm always down to do woo-woo shit and to explore and to learn. And like I said, I learned that I really fucked up with the crystal thing. Like, that explains probably why I've had such chaotic, I've had a lot of chaotic energy at home lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not anything that anyone needs to worry about. Just that, you know, oh my God, what if that's the reason?
Because of the crystals.
Oh, no.
Just blame it on that. That makes more sense. Do that.
Oh,
that's more
shit.
Practical.
I am so going to... You know what I should do? I should just slide those crystals like underneath the door.
Just
be like, and be
babe,
like,
I'm sorry. I've been.
You
I've
can
been,
have my energy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been mad mean, but it's the crystals. It's not my fault.
I was definitely... I had a moment where I snapped yesterday too. I think we talked about this, but then I realized I was like just really hungry and then apologized later, but still stuck to my... He was like, oh, so I just needed to feed a chicken. Oh, no, I'm still pissed, but I'm just not as pissed.
Yeah, definitely. If you're hangry, that's going to give you eclipse energy. Oh. So be careful with that. If you like this episode, let us know. You guys never do, but you definitely should because this is an interesting topic. There's a lot about moon magic. There's manifestation, rituals. We can go into that. It's very woo-woo. If you want us to, we can. We're going to do something about, what was it? It was like lunar phases. Oh God, no, it wasn't. It was something else. We had some other thing we were going to do. Point is that let us know, please. We really like your feedback when it comes to our episodes. We take it into great consideration. You know, I'd suggested on a live if you wanted a food astrology episode and you all said yes, so we're doing it. Someone else said they wanted a true crime episode. We did it. So just let us know. And yeah, thanks for listening. Jack, take it away.
Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Share this with a friend. Share it with your mom. Share it with your dentist. I don't care. Just share. We are depending on you. Please join us on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. PT for our Instagram Lives. You can submit your questions on Monday with our story app. Just come in. It's a party. We light a candle. I don't know. Maybe we'll have a moon circle. Who knows what we'll do next. But other than that, make sure that you pick up the Just Girl book, the new one about astrology. We got to write down what we're going to say about this because I am not going to go through another season of my Gemini Chiron flaring. So yeah, go buy the book, you Google it, Just Girl Project astrology book. You'll find it. It's great. It's beautiful. I got to participate in, you know, being friends with her. So there's my credit there. Other than that, I don't know, man. What a season. What a freaking season. I am so excited to be ending 2022. There have been so many crazy things that happened this year. I'm sure that we are not alone in that. Yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be great. I know that like we're going to start developing episodes that are going to be like holiday themed and whatnot, but we're really getting closer to 2023 and holy crap,
hated this year. Sorry. Dude, worst year of my life.
I feel old.
Yeah, this is the worst year of my life, like hands down. Like, so I'm really glad it's
But
done
we spent
it.
More time together this year than we ever have in our
that
entire
part
friendship.
Was great. Just mm-hmm. other stuff was not so great. Yeah. But here's the 2023 being better.
Oh my God. And like yeah. starting, do you know what that means? It's starting we did 2021 is when we started Vicious Virgos. Mm-hmm. We went through all of 2022 and now we're starting 2023.
Well, on that note,
let's remember to stay
vicious.
That was so lame.